meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist, and tonight we're excited and surprised to see Ben Stein in the studio.
I just happened to come by. I was at the Sagebrush Cantina, and I came in.
Ben is a guy I've ran into off and on for the last few years, mainly because of my relationship with Jimmy Kimmel, who, as you know, got his big break hosting Win Ben Stein's Money.
Bueller.
Ben is...
Bueller.
Ben is a delightful character of a man. Yes?
Oh, I think I am. My wife thinks I am. I don't know if my son thinks I am.
This is a funny book, speaking of his son.
And yeah, Ben has a new book called How to Ruin Your Life, which is... it's out now, right?
Yeah, it's out. It's selling like a mother something.
Envy everything, appreciate nothing. It's like, don't take responsibility for anything that happens to you, is basically
the best advice for your show is have a romantic relationship with someone with a lot of problems and believe in your heart that you can change him.
Yes. That's the Loveline mantra.
We've been preaching that for years.
And also, be good in romantic relationships. Be good to people who are mean to you.
Yes, yes.
And be mean to people who are good to you.
There you go.
Guaranteed to wreck your life.
Yeah. I take it a step further. Mean is almost relative. I say abuse people that are good.
Abuse people who are nice.
That are good to you.
And never be grateful to anyone. And always, always ask for more. Always demand more.
And furthermore, if somebody is abusive to you, assume it's because you're a bad person and that there's something you could have or should have done to stop this person from abusing you, and that they're completely in the
right.
And
when somebody cheats on you with somebody else, it's the other
blame
person.
The other person blame the other person cheating on.
Exactly. And also assume that you should feel really guilty about it somehow, that you're really the moving force in the action that hurts you.
Yeah, of course.
You.
What motivated this guy to cheat?
Me, of course.
That's right. He had some responsibility, and you had some responsibility, and you screwed up.
If you were a little prettier, a little thinner, a little smarter, perhaps he wouldn't have strayed.
Well, actually, I am working on another book, a sequel to this, called How to Ruin Your Love Life.
Ooh.
And one of the rules is believe that you can win by being thin. And another rule is believe that it won't matter if you're fat. And believe that the man in your life will love you even if you're fat, just because...
Ben has had quite an eclectic life, and I'm always, more eclectic than just about any celebrity that would come to mind.
Why don't you list your...
I'm curious.
He had the four accomplishments that were like in every corner of
the globe.
Of the globe, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I'm an economist by training and a lawyer by training, and also I was a speechwriter for Mr. Nixon and for Mr. Ford when they were presidents.
Right.
I was a columnist for the Wall Street Journal. I was a hippie in Santa Cruz.
Now, what year were you the hippie in Santa Cruz?
72, 73. I was a very active anti-war protester, but also a very active Republican.
Wow.
I was a civil rights demonstrator. In fact, I still have a scar on my left buttock from when I was demonstrating in Cambridge, Maryland, and a car ran up on the sidewalk, a truck actually trying to scare me, and I fell down and cut my behind on the...
Oh, really?
Wait.
Yeah. I'll tell you, the blacks got to give it up for the Jews just a little bit more. For folks who literally, like Ben, put their ass on the line to buy you people equality, and now it's nothing but racial epithets towards the Jews.
Epithets, too, yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, then also I was a columnist for the Wall Street Journal, screenwriter, TV writer, a novelist, nonfiction writer, expert on financial fraud, securities law teacher, and then host of Win Ben Stein's Money for 7 seasons, and now it only has 1 more season, and then it's going away.
And what was your winning percentage on that show over the years?
Well, the first year when Jimmy and I started doing it, it was about 65%, maybe, and by the end it was about 85%.
Wow.
I just got used to the rhythm of it, so to speak.
Right, and what percentage of you know, because I did Ben Stein's Money too, and failed miserably each time I did it. But you know what? You know what ends up happening?
We had no failures. Just some people were more successful than others.
Yes, I was amongst the ones who made the other people look successful relative to my failures.
You're right, understood.
But I'll tell you what happens in a game show, and I think I've done a couple different ones. Is your brain, here's what happens. When someone tells you you must get the answer before the other person gives the answer, mm-hmm. you start hearing the question and you seize onto the beginning part of the question and you don't hear the second part of the question, which often takes it in a slightly different direction. And your brain goes in directions it never would go before. Like one of the questions when I did it was, who sung the song Alone Again Naturally? Or something like that.
Oh, wow, that's a hard song.
And I
said...
some
Irish name.
I said, yes, I said Gilbert O'Sullivan. Yeah.
Something like that.
Well, it's Gilbert L. Sullivan. And I never said Gilbert O'Sullivan ever. I knew it was Gilbert L. Sullivan.
You doubt yourself in that crunch.
I just... Yeah. Gilbert O'Sullivan comes out of your mouth. Yeah. You're at your worst. And you're somebody who's been through it a few times in a season, then all the you know, the kittens in your stomach and the nerves and the this and the that, that's all been neutralized through experience.
No, not all neutralized. It's neutralized partly through this wonderful thing, which is paregoric and milk of bismuth.
He's holding up some medication,
by the way. That helps to, I'm holding up a large brown bottle.
Basically, it's diarrhea medicine.
Right.
That's right.
What I'm saying is somebody goes goes on the show who might get 8 out of 10 questions when they're relaxed.
Oh,
is going to get 5 or 5.
Not even 5. I had guys who had been like first in their class at Harvard who got maybe 2 right. I mean, they were just totally blown away by the anxiety.
Right.
But also, the kinds of questions are so eclectic that...
They're all different. They're all over the lot, from who won the World Series in such and such a year to how old you have to be to play baseball and sign a release. Do you know how old you have to be to sign a release to play baseball?
I'd say 16.
Yes, that's right. That's damn good.
God damn it. Why couldn't we have asked that when I didn't know it? But at 18, I know there's guys younger than 18 who play ball.
16 is the right answer.
All right.
Well, and then questions like, what are the 2 kinds of Goths who sacked Rome? That's a hard one.
Visigoths?
Yeah. Visigoths and Ostrogoths.
All right. Christina? Oh, wait a minute. I got to punch up Christina. I'm still reeling from getting something right. Even technically, it wasn't on the
Gilbert
show.
I think the Gilbert O'Sullivan one is damn good, and Gilbert L. Sullivan.
I think the judges could have thrown me a bone on that one.
I think so,
I screwed up the middle initial of the guy.
Who were the judges, Ben and Jimmy?
No, God,
Ben and Jerry, actually.
No, there was a very, very mean judge named Terry McDonald. No, actually, a very nice guy.
Here's all I'm saying. And what universe do you give the first and last name of a person you're looking for and get the question
right? You could have just given the last name and you would have gotten
it. I should have just said Gilbert Sullivan.
You could have just said Sullivan and you would have gotten it.
Gilbert L. Sullivan. He was a boxer or something. Krista?
Yeah.
You're 22?
Yeah.
What's up?
I've been having these, for about 5 years. I have these memories of when I was younger. It was before I was 10. I don't know exactly how old, but I remember kissing several of my friends who were girls, and I'm thinking I was probably around 8 or 9, and I'd kiss these girls. I don't think we did anything else, but I also remember one of my neighbors, I kissed her, and I made her and her brother kiss, too, like, under the bed sheets. I don't know if they actually kissed, but I would make them, like, make out, and I don't know.
All right. Ben loves this show.
Ben is a man of great passion, too, by the way. Like Dr. Drew, does not necessarily come across as a passionate man.
But I am a passionate guy.
I know. You're a very passionate man. I
want to hear more. Is this young woman saying that this, what she's been doing, was recalled doing, was a problem, or does she wish she could do more of it, or what is this? What's her story?
What's the question?
Yeah, no, I don't want to do any more of it, but I remember, I kind of forgot about it, and recently, in like past 5 years, I've been remembering, and I want to know what are the chances of somebody around that age? I mean, do they experiment a lot?
Yes, they do. That would be a normal, in the normal range, what you're describing.
You're fine. Getting people to kiss is fine.
Are you having normal relationships now?
Am I? Yes, I am.
Everything's fine.
Yeah, everything's fine. I mean, I just have been...
All right. She's fine. she was nine. She had her neighbor's kiss.
Well, no, I think the point is she probably secretly wants to do it again now, and she's urging you to give her permission to do it again now. That's my guess.
I disagree. Krista?
Yes.
Would you like to continue this kissing quest of yours?
I've been remembering this, and I wanted to know if it meant that it's something that happened to me.
Listen for a few minutes. I'm sure we'll have somebody call who's had their friends do all kinds of lovely things. You'll understand the difference.
Would you like Drew and Ben Stein to make out?
Yeah, no.
Are you sure?
Close
your eyes. Sure. You sure? Okay. All right. You missed out. These are two men of great passion. Who bring passion to every endeavor.
Well, we do. At least I know I do. I think Drew does, too.
No, Drew is, he's a passionate man. And here's the thing about guys. You know, you think only the guys with the tongue piercings who ride the Harleys and wear the boots are the passionate guys. But there can be sleeper passionate
guys.
Well,
we have a saying that Republicans make better lovers.
Why is that?
Because they have so much bottled up inside.
So repressed. That's
that when the spilling comes out, it goes crazy.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's a good point.
So it comes out under pressure.
Yeah, exactly, so to speak.
That's why I like the Asians, by the way. once you crack open that jar, oh, yeah. It's all coming out. Dave?
Yeah.
You're 20.
Yeah, what's going on? I want to give all three of you guys props. First, Dr. Drew, you're providing valuable information to a lot of young people.
All right, Dave.
Great what you do. Adam, you're a comic genius. What can I say? You
and
the man show here on Loveline. It's great. And Mr. Stein, as a libertarian, I agree with a lot of your conservative ideas, so keep doing what you're doing.
Well, God bless you. Thank you for your props.
Yes, all three of you are some of the only few voices of reason amongst the celebrity people, so...
Well, we agree with that.
Well, we appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right. Anyway, I think I've kind of developed, like, some type of sexual dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I used to be able to get, like, rock-hard erections during sexual foreplay and intercourse.
Right.
You know, along with the tight scrotum. But now, gradually, over the last, like, 18 months, my ability to achieve those really hard erections has, like, gradually decreased. Like, I can get hard enough for intercourse, but there has to be, like, constant physical arousal to maintain an erection. So it makes for, like, quite a rush when you put on a condom.
Oh, you mean when you try to get the condom on, you lose a little momentum with the erection.
Right, but, you know, but the whole time during when I'm aroused, like, my nuts don't even really, you know, they're supposed to get kind of taut, you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Like, you know,
I disagree. It happens to some guys.
As you get older, the force of gravity overcomes them, too.
Yeah. You know, my balls just sag during sex. They're flopping everywhere and stuff.
Yeah. Mine are like a counterweight. Butt goes this way, balls go the other, then they snap back. It's the yin and yang.
Yeah, I tell you, it's like the...
All right, Dave. I've had enough about Dave doing a 20-minute stand-up routine on his nuts and how they're not what they used to be. It is true, though, Drew. What do they call that? Was that D'Arto's tunic thing?
The cremasteric response.
Oh, the cremasteric response? What am I talking about?
The D'Arto's tunic is the wrinkly thing around.
Well, that's what it goes in.
Yeah.
But that seems to go away with a certain amount of age.
The D'Arto's tunic? You just stretch it out as you head towards the floor.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, it's like at a certain point, when your skin hangs on you far enough, no matter how far you stick your chin out, you have a double chin, or you have a flap of skin, right?
I have a big double chin.
So this is the D'Arto's
tunic. It's becoming.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's one of these.
You can't see this because you're listening on the radio, but Dr. Drew is showing me a medical textbook.
Thank you, Ben. See? Ben Stein knows more about radio than you do. All right. So anyway, as you get older, the nuts head down toward Terra Pharma.
Let's just see if he's on any medication or anything.
No. Really?
Dave, you on any medication?
Well, no. I mean, I smoke a little pot, but I don't know if that would have anything to do with it.
Every day or once a week kind of thing?
Well, yeah. Well, during several days during the week, I would say.
7 days during the week.
Not seven, several.
Several.
Five.
Four or five.
Four or five, but you work off the 4 day week, right? Like most are. No. You think there's 7 weeks in a month?
No.
That's
weeks.
Most of our listeners. Yeah, they go, I only smoke weed 3 or 4 times a week, but they think they work off a 4 day week.
Okay. I'm a responsible pot smoker.
Okay. Well, it might be the pot doing that to your erections.
Yeah, you got to get the right woman. And I practice putting that condom on.
Yeah. drill, 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 so to speak.
Yes.
Evil pot smoking hand jobber.
People know what you're talking about. Dave?
Yes.
You're 24.
Yes.
You're on with Ben Stein.
Who's losing it?
He's fine.
I'm kind of nervous to talk about this, but I'm having a situation. I have a girlfriend who has a lot of emotional baggage. It's kind of annoying because what happens is we'll be talking or we'll be doing something and I'll either say or do something, trigger something on her, and she just clams up and just like completely changes.
Give us an example.
Like it usually happens when we're having conversations because she lives an hour north of me, mm-hmm. or so, and so we mostly talk on the phone right now because mm-hmm. I'm busy. And it's like, well, conversation, she'll be all happy, I'll be all happy. We're discussing something and we're just touching information about ourselves. And then I'll, like, say something that I have no idea what I say, and then all of a sudden she goes quiet and doesn't talk.
Well, what does she say it is?
You have to give us an example. You just described the scene twice now. What? Give us a specific example.
Give us an example of something you said to her that right. made her clam up.
I hate to say this, but I really can't think of anything right now.
Well, right. Okay, I'd like to offer a suggestion.
Go right ahead.
I think you should break up with her. She sounds crazy.
Yes.
Dave, can you do that?
I can, but I don't want to because I really like her. Because we've learned a lot about each other. Honestly, we've only been together for like a month and a half.
Oh, well, that's nothing. Maybe you could ask her if she'd like to start taking antidepressants. That might help.
She does.
She does.
Oh, well, that's the problem. She's antidepressants usually make you more depressed.
What is she taking? What is she taking?
She's taking, I don't know exactly what it is specifically, but I know it's prescribed by a doctor.
Well, these kinds of behaviors are, you know, you're giving me this very scant information, but there are certain personality disorders that can be very difficult to deal with. And the quality of the kind of thing you're talking about is suggestive of something like a borderline type personality disorder.
And listen, we talk about this all the time. Our 23, 24-year-old male listeners are very ill-equipped to deal with people's sort of deeper-rooted personal issues that they run into a lot, and they're unaware of it, and they deal with it on the surface level, and yet it's sort of endless, it's infinite, in its amount. It keeps bubbling up to the surface, and they deal with it at the surface, but they never get to it.
Well, yeah. No.
Well, but usually nobody ever gets to it. I mean, the truth is that even if you're in psychotherapy, probably they would never get to it. I mean, these things, borderline personality disorders, are almost impossible to treat.
Right, right.
Yeah, we're jumping, you know, I felt awful when I said borderline because we're jumping, you know, all over this woman who may just be anxious about being 100 miles away from this guy.
Yeah, that's true. If it is a borderline disorder, it's very hard to treat. But also, anxious depression is very hard to treat. And also, the effects of antidepressants are extremely tricky and also often are contrary to what they're supposed to be.
Well, and also, though, I'm not saying you ever cure the person, but if we got into one of those relationships today, we would know how to dance with it and deal with it
a little bit. And when to end it and how to end it, too.
Right.
Well, of course, I'm married, so I wouldn't get into a relationship like that. But I have a simple rule after living 58 years, which is if you get into a relationship with someone who's really crazy, get out of it as fast as you can.
Yeah,
find
because
someone who isn't crazy.
You will sink to the level of whoever's most crazy in the relationship.
Oh, that's very true.
You can be very rational, very sane, and very well put together. You hook up with someone who's crazy, that's the level you will go to.
You know what? There is some data to suggest the opposite.
How dare you crap on my very interesting point.
That people with insecure attachments, which are part of the underlying problem, things like borderline, can actually measurably change to such an extent that they, after 2 to 3 years with someone who is securely attached, can themselves develop secure
attachments. Well, down the road, but I'm talking about our 23-year-old junior college male students who have aspirations of doing porn.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But you are assuming a person who is extremely securely rooted who will be able to put up with that for 3 or 4 years. Yep. That's a lot to put up with.
You rarely get that far. Chris?
Yeah?
You're 13?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
Whenever I really go down on my girlfriend, like, right before she climaxes, she starts to cry.
Uh-huh.
How old are you?
He's 13. Maybe your retainer caught her.
No.
Because that's the only thing I can think of at 13. I put him on hold because there's a horrible line. And I'm not sure
This can't be possibly true that a 13-year-old is doing this.
Oh, it's possible.
Possibly true.
Chris?
Yeah?
How long have you been together with her?
About 3 months.
Uh-huh.
How old is she?
She's 13, too.
Where do you live?
Eugene, Oregon.
Is this commonplace behavior among 13-year-olds in Eugene, Oregon?
Well, she's kind of like a freaky girl.
Yeah, he's considered a late bloomer, actually, over at Eugene. And she's considered an old maid. Hey, Chris?
Yeah?
Yeah, if this in fact is true, there's issues that she has. The same issues that let you do this to her at age 13 are the same issues that make her cry.
And the reason she's freaky. And the reason she's even with Chris.
Yes. Yes.
See, this shouldn't be happening at all at age 13. They should be preparing for their bar mitzvah.
That's right.
Well, that's
yes. Is she of the Jewish faith?
No, she's not.
Shocking. And you are not yourself. No, this is not the work of a Jew. This is not the work of a Jew. What? I mean,
at
you're
13
lucky.
Is incredible.
Yeah.
What'd you say to him? You're lucky.
I like the bat mitzvah, which, Ben, you would know this. What year did that really sort of come into vogue?
It was always a popular thing for very Orthodox Jewish girls, but it became a commonplace
thing.
But
1,000 years ago?
No, but like, it came into popularity for just your ordinary run-of-the-mill Jewish girl maybe 15 years ago.
Right. And for those...
When mass prosperity hit.
For those of you who don't know it, this is with a ceremony in the Jewish faith where a young 13-year-old female becomes a man. Right? Is that how I understand
it? Where she learns how to really nag a man successfully.
Oh, it's great. The Star Wars themes and everything. Jesus Christ, I could have done with one of those. Drew, you never had one?
Nope.
Ben?
I had a bar mitzvah.
You did?
Very, very modest. My bar mitzvah was in 1957. It was a whole different world. I had my bar mitzvah right after they put up Sputnik for the first time, and everyone was afraid we were about to have nuclear war. People were in a very panicky mood.
Did you pick a Buck Rogers theme?
It was a very modest thing. My parents were not rich, and we lived in a neighborhood where people didn't do showy things, even if they were rich.
Did you get a little change, a little coin?
I got some, not very much. And I certainly didn't have a 13-year-old girlfriend that I was going down on. I can assure you of that. It wouldn't have even crossed my mind.
Yeah. I mean, it seemed...
Wait a minute. Who's doing that?
No, it didn't seem reasonable when you were 13, did it?
No. It would have been inconceivable.
Anderson?
Yeah, but I mean... I mean, here's what I'm fearing is going on. As soon as something gets done, then it can get done.
Right.
And
then it's on to the next thing.
Then it's on to the next thing. And
well, do you think? Let me ask you, Dr. Drew. Do you think it's better if they are having sex, or rather worse? Is it worse if they're having sex or smoking pot? Which is worse?
At 13, the current data suggests that if you smoke pot at 13, you're probably getting addicted, believe it or not. Overall, it's 10%, but it goes down by 5% per year under 18. So your probability is around 40% of getting hooked on pot. If you do get hooked, it aborts some of the developmental process.
But I think it's incredibly dangerous to smoke pot at that age.
Yeah, and so really probably the pot thing is
but true for your daughter.
The pot's fine.
You throw a pot party. Honey, I'm so proud of you. All right. We got to take a break because you figure you could talk them. You could get them off the weed, but once they got a taste for that dong, it would never end. Oh, yes, Drew. Be prepared.
This show is much raunchier than I remember from the last time I was
it's
on
it. It's show. It's him.
All right. Ben Stein here tonight. How to Ruin Your Life, name of his latest book, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Ben Stein is our guest tonight. How to Ruin Your Life is the name of his latest book. Ben is appalled at the early age that a lot of our callers get started sexually.
Well, not a lot, but one did call in who said he and his girlfriend were 13.
Yeah. So, and for Ben, must have that perspective that we have, too, that oral sex was something that was like, you know, something came long after intercourse.
Yeah, now I guess it comes before.
Way before.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. What's the point of that?
As a guy or as a girl?
As a girl. I guess it's that you can't get pregnant.
Right. It's, it also takes the sort of intercourse question out of the
Well, this
the
sounds
dialogue.
Like Clinton, though. I mean, this is like Clinton's ideas about sex.
Yeah. I'm not sure if he actually has those ideas or just sort of parrots those ideas. Yeah. I mean, it becomes a very convenient excuse. I don't believe that any intelligent man actually would stand by that. But
well, then the kids
interesting
the
angle,
kids talk that way though about the oral sex not being sex, being sort of making.
Well, what
out.
Is it then?
It's making out.
It's making out. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I think we could agree it's adultery.
Yeah.
No, it isn't adultery if neither of them is married.
No. Well, I'm talking about in Clinton's case.
Oh, yeah.
I think that one we could agree on. Or at least, I believe our wives could all agree.
It's adultery, but it's not sex.
Last time I saw Ben, he and I were on Kilborn, and he was talking about... No, and you were talking about the Iraq situation.
Yeah.
Do you think that's going to come down soon?
Yes. Not right away, but I think like maybe February or March. Because I think there's a certain season when it's considered best for armor to move through the desert. And also, we just don't have enough men there now. It takes a while to move several hundred thousand men across the world, and their equipment can't be done overnight.
Yeah. I always, there's a few things I enjoy about this. I like the idea, I've talked to you about this before, that we kick so much ass in our recent wars that we actually kill more of our own than the enemy kills.
Yes.
Which I thought, just by the way, historically shows that you have a very kick-ass military. Like, a few hundred or a few thousand years from now, when they look back at this time and date, and they realize that we end up, the enemy kills 38 of our people, and we kill 127.
Right. Well, but we kill tens of thousands of them. But
the point is, you know you're kicking ass when you kill more of your own men than the enemy does.
Well, Iraq is a country of about 8 or 9 million.
Mm-hmm.
It spends a couple of billion a year on defense. Mm-hmm. The U.S. is a country of 280 million and spends about 400 billion a year on defense.
Right.
They have almost no working airplanes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They have almost no working tanks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not going to be that much of a competition.
And now, you tell me, Ben, in the past, we had to contend with Soviet-supplied MiGs and things like this. So we'd go into Vietnam or Korea, and we're going up against MiGs that were actually in some way superior to our aircraft.
That was in Korea, but not in Vietnam.
Well, they had MiGs in
Vietnam.
Yeah,
but they didn't have ones that were superior to ours.
Well, we kind of caught up a little bit by Vietnam, but I mean they were comparable in certain ways.
They were comparable, and they had very, very good surface-to-air missiles.
But the point is this is gone now.
Yeah, nobody.
I mean, Soviets are not supplying these countries anymore.
Right. Well, they would like to, but they don't. They're not supplying Iraq with jets. That's for sure. No, this war will be over in a matter of a few days.
Right. And what do you think of it?
I think Saddam is a crazy person who has dangerous chemical weapons and would like a nuclear bomb, and it would be good to get him out of there sooner rather than later. I mean, I don't want him to be. I think if he could, he would drop a nuclear bomb right in the middle of Tel Aviv. And I'd like him to stop. I think if he could, he'd send a nuclear bomb here in a suitcase and blow it up in downtown Los Angeles. I'd like to get him out of there right away.
And do you think that getting rid of him would lessen that threat?
Oh, yeah. It'll end the threat from Iraq. But, I mean, there'll still be threats from Al-Qaeda. There'll still be threats from other terrorist entities. But there won't be a terrorist state right in the middle of the Middle East trying to get a nuclear bomb to use against civilized countries. That'll be gone. Well, there'll be Iran. Iran will be doing that, but I think after we've dealt with Iraq, we'll start to deal with Iran.
How popular do you think he is with his people?
They hate him.
They all do.
Not all, but the huge majority of them hate him. I mean, he's a brutal dictator. He shot a lot of them. He pours gasoline down their throats and sets a match to them. He's a terrible, terrible guy. I mean, he's a terrible guy.
Yeah, I agree. And for those of you who object to the war, when you really take a look at what this guy's done over the last, what's he been around for?
He's been around about 20 years.
20 years. These are atrocities.
He's a terror, and he's killed more Arabs than any other Arab ever in the history of Arabs.
Hmm. Right. So
he is the number one killer of Arabs in the world.
Right. Yeah. So I don't understand what the objection is. And what do you what's your feelings on, as we're going political here for a moment? What about oil and foreign dependency and sort of
well, when I worked for Mr. Nixon, we had a plan to make ourselves energy independent by 1984. And we never put it into effect because the Saudis made oil so cheap that we decided we would just buy their oil. So I think it would be great if we were more independent, but it's there are a lot of problems. We don't have enough oil to do it. We'd have to make oil out of oil and
how,
gas.
How about just another fluid that combusts that doesn't come out of the ground?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, ethanol. Or,
well,
know.
Ethanol, they'd have to... It would be almost impossible to grow enough corn to produce enough ethanol. But they could make it out of coal, but it requires a tremendously complex, highly polluting process that uses up gigantic amounts of water and leaves gigantic amounts of pollution in the ground.
And what about,
but it can be done. It can be done.
What about, what do you feel about, like, drilling in Alaska?
I don't have any problem with it whatsoever, as long as they're not actually shooting caribou and moose and so forth to do it. If they do it in such a way that the pipes are buried and so forth, it doesn't bother me in the slightest.
I remember in the 70s, oh, the Alaska pipeline is going to destroy the wilderness in Alaska. It'll be the end. It'll fall apart. Alaska will float away. Remember that?
Yeah. They was going to melt the permafrost.
Yeah, it was going to be an absolute total destruction of Alaska.
And it didn't do anything except make the Alaskans prosperous. Yeah, it's a very far away, remote region that doesn't look that pretty anyway. It apparently looks like just a kind of big sludge belt. But I mean, they still should protect and preserve it because the earth is precious, but... So oil is precious too,
and they do have ways now to extract oil in a more accurate way. That's sort of I'm guessing what having an arthroscopic surgery on your knee would be compared to the old style of putting the 8-inch incision down it and really digging away at it. They pinpoint it now. They go in sort of surgically. And the elk and the caribou and all
they're
the rest of
the... They're just happy there. They get to eat the leftover Big Macs.
Right. Nick?
Yeah.
You're 23?
Yep.
And by the way, if a moose saw you, he'd kill you. So we should all think about that before. You know, we've taken the moose and we've glorified him with Bullwinkle. Yeah. And moose McGillicuddy's.
Yeah, they're funny. They're funny.
They're novelty
friendly,
creatures.
Yes,
yeah. They would just... They would gore you.
Yes.
Really?
They're pretty hostile.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then we don't want to be around anymore.
No.
Okay,
no.
Thank you.
And if a couple have to go down so I can drive the SUV, I say so be it. Nick.
Yeah.
You're 23.
I am.
How do you stand on the moose?
I like them in cartoons.
Right.
Good times. All right.
Okay.
Way to go, Nick.
So I lied to the call screen.
Well, all right, there you go.
Anderson cut you off because that's a very dangerous precedent. Devin?
Yes.
You're 22?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Okay. About 10 months ago, I got an IUD put in.
Mm-hmm.
And now, about a week before my period, every time I get physically sick.
Mm-hmm.
And my doctor said I should have absolutely no problems with it, and every month.
Well, you know, it's a foreign body in a body cavity, right?
Uh-huh.
And it irritates your uterus. That's sort of really how it works. It causes an excessive inflammatory reaction and a heavy sloughing reaction. Uh-huh. That's why things can't implant.
Couldn't that same effect be achieved with, like, a leaf blower or something that
leaf blowers
actually have to go into the...
Or vacuum, just vacuum, yeah.
A vacuum, yeah.
Well, maybe she... I mean, why do you not just remove it if it's making you sick? Why don't you just go to your doctor and say, I'd like this out, it's making me sick?
Well, because I won't...
They're kind of telling her it's not the IUD. She doesn't.
Well, I mean, if it didn't happen before the IUD and it's happened after the IUD,
it's the IUD.
What more proof do you need?
Because I can't remember to take a pill. It's only for
what about the patches? You could even take the Depo Provera shot.
Yes, yeah, I don't do shots, but
you don't do shots ever.
No, I can't.
You're scared of needles.
Yes.
I am too, but it's, but it just seems like a much, much better thing to have a little teeny shot than to get sick every
month. Patches,
right.
They have patches. They can wear a patch, change once a week.
Yeah.
Right? They have birth control patches.
Can you do a patch, Devin?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right.
I've never tried it.
Do the patch.
You know, I have two kids, so we just decided that it was the best form of birth control.
Well, there are
where do you live, Devin?
In California.
Okay. Just curious. I think you should go to your doctor, get that out immediately if it's making you sick. Because what else might it be doing to you?
Well, it can increase risk for infections is the thing. And that's not specifically a symptom of that, but it doesn't sound like a good thing, does it?
No.
All right. Well, listen, here, Devin, here's the problem. You want something, like you want to not have kids, but you're not. You don't do the shots, yeah. And you don't want to take the pill. Eventually, there's going to have to be some sacrifice here.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Well, why don't you do the shot? And listen, you know what I think we do a little too much of as a society here? And I believe we're doing a disservice to the people we should be yelling at when people say, no, I don't eat that, or I don't do that. I can't. My thing is, shut the F up and do it. That's what we should be saying as a society. We should have no tolerance for these people.
Well, Ben was a hippie at one time. Maybe he has a different feeling about it.
I don't know.
I don't like shots. I don't like
Nobody
shots.
Nobody likes but shots, I have to but get you're an
them.
Adult.
I have to get them occasionally.
Yeah. Like every day when he slams the heroin.
Where's my bourbon?
It's the only thing that stops the pain. All right. Ben Stein here. How to Ruin Your Life, name of his book. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Ben Stein, who just took a bite of a chip, is on our show tonight. Ben has a new book out called How to Ruin Your Life. And Drew was just explaining to me that it was game on with the food.
Yeah.
And him. And it's everywhere you go now. Someone's baking something.
This is our last day
in.
Here before, you know, Best Of kicks in.
Before what
so
kicks in?
Right. So we got to...
We're celebrating.
So we got to load up on chip and dip.
Uh-huh.
Before what happens?
They run the Best Of shows. We get a little holiday break.
Where are you going on your holiday?
I'm going to, like, the Grand Canyon and Monument Valley. And, like, where they filmed the Coyote and the Roadrunner. That's where I'm going there. I've always wanted to see that since I was a kid. And
in the cliff, it's there.
The cliff's there. The natural arch is there.
Like a different, yeah, it looked like different every time. Same one.
Yeah. Well, the point is, and I don't know if kids have this, but Drew was saying it's game on with the food now, and Drew and I are both the same way. We're sort of cycle leaders. We'll put together a few good weeks, minding our P's and Q's, and then all of a sudden it's sort of what we call game on. And food's everywhere you look, and it seems like the more proclamations you make about not eating, the more food starts surrounding you, to the point where you're driving down the street and pies are hitting your car. That's what happened.
Food is very addictive.
It absolutely is.
Food, and especially carbohydrates, are unimaginably addictive.
Yeah.
But I don't think kids get that. They don't get on a roll like we do, do they?
Some do. I mean, there's some very fat kids. I have an interesting observation. When I am in a really, really terrible mood, almost nothing changes my mood as fast as an English muffin with lots of butter
comfort,
and lots of
comfort food for you.
Butter and jam, right. orange marmalade. And I think it's the metabolizing of the carbohydrates in it. Are metabolized the same as smack.
It's true.
It probably hits the same area of the brain to some extent.
It's really, really good stuff.
Yeah. No, it's...
We apparently have some callers.
They call it a new brand of muffins.
Adam, you're funny.
Smack broth muffins.
What about just mainlining carbs?
Marmalade?
Well, I do that.
Mainline marmalade.
I do mainline marmalade.
Angela?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's
Hi,
up?
How are you?
Good.
I was wondering, I mean, this is a stupid question, but I was wondering if I could talk to you guys on the break, because my dad always listens to the show.
Uh-huh.
And that's who I have to talk about.
Well, Drew has to shovel food into his mouth during the break.
Oh,
what's
okay.
What's the general subject?
My dad.
And he's listening now?
Well, we're in Colorado, so we don't get the show till tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But he listens every night during at his work and stuff.
Well,
is he going to be a little freaked out already that he's hearing you on the air?
Well, he's not going to hear it till tomorrow.
But won't he be mad at you tomorrow?
Well, that's what I'm saying. If I could...
Well, you can talk to me at the break.
Here's the thing, Angela.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure he could only imagine what you were talking about during the break, and it would probably go to the worst possible place.
Come here and give me a hug!
So, why don't you tell us what's up with him and so that he can hear it? I mean, I don't want to offend the guy. I don't want to send him into a rage. But if you have an issue with the guy, maybe he needs to hear it.
Well, yeah, I love him, like, a lot, but he just, like, I've had a lot of problems during my life and stuff, and he's just is not there for me a lot emotionally.
Because he's working, or why?
He always works, like, he works all the time.
Is he the one that's supporting you?
No, not right now. I'm living with my mom right now. But then I just found out that my mom's pregnant and all this stuff, and... But the same as my dad is, I've always had stuff going on during my life, and he married this lady. He's been married for her to her like 10 years, and she beat us for like 7 years, and he just acts like he didn't, and he knew about it. And
you sure he knew about it?
Yeah, I know he knew about it because we've told social services and stuff, and he had to talk to them.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Well, this is unbelievably sad.
Yeah.
This is really, really sad.
Well, Angela, are you able to talk to your dad?
No, I can't talk to him about anything. I usually just talk to my mom about...
Okay, well, really okay, listen, Angela, here's the deal, and I say this, and it's sad, but if you can't talk to your dad about anything, then you're going to have to sort of let him go and move forward in your life.
Right. If he's not the kind of person that can...
You cannot wait around for his approval and put your life on hold.
Right.
He's, for one reason or another, is not stepped up to the plate, at least according to you. And we believe you, and that's fine, but your biggest mistake is trying to get someone to do something that they're not very good at.
Or incapable.
And everybody has to listen to that, please. I mean, people spend such a... vast part of their life trying to get people to do stuff that other people just are not prepared to do or don't have the capacity to do or don't have the will to do.
Well, there's just an awful lot of people who are not really great people. My sister has a very wonderful saying, which is that your basic human being is not such a hot item. And I think that this, it sounds like her father's not such a hot item. If he lets her stepmother beat her up, I mean, that's outrageous. It's thoroughly outrageous. At the age of 18, presumably she no longer has to go over to his house if she doesn't want to.
She is 18.
Yeah, right. So she doesn't have to go there anymore, and I wouldn't go there anymore. I mean, why deal with him at all?
What's interesting, is Adam and I always noticed that the parents that are the worst are the ones that get cut the most slack by the kids. You know, that they idealize them.
That is so amazing. Yeah. I've often heard that said, that the worst parents have the best children.
Not the best children. No, the children, the children act out a ton of stuff on themselves, and they get involved in these horrible relationships with abusive people. But they idealize the parents.
Oh, that's very interesting.
And
meanwhile, your kids think you're pricks, and you guys
are
saints.
Yes, exactly. I bend over backwards for my son, do anything, torture myself for him.
Sure.
And he thinks he's abused, right?
Yeah.
He was watching a documentary about the Menendez brothers last night with extreme fascination.
Yeah. He had a steno pad out.
And I said,
talking into a dictaphone. Note to self.
I said to him, Tommy, our will says that if we die violently, you don't get a cent. Not a single cent. And in fact, if we die of any cause other than one that can be determined by a doctor to be natural, you don't get a cent. So he looked very sobered by that. But I think he was teasing me. He has an incredibly good sense of humor.
It turns out they're starting to look now at kids that are being abused. That what happens to us when we're in a setting of extreme distress? We tend to seek other people, especially the people we need the most, our family, or if we were a child, our parents. So when a parent abuses a child, it actually increases their attachment needs. So they go toward the person that's abusing them to try to get the relief.
Stockholm syndrome.
It's very much part of the same thing. That's maybe why that happens. That's
the way when kidnappers bond with kidnappees bond with their kidnappers.
Same idea. The attachment needs to go up, and so people go towards them. And the only way you can do that is if you idealize them, because you want to deny the contents of their brain, which is. They want to beat the crap out of me. You want to pretend that you're in control of it. It's something I did.
Very good point.
I did it, and therefore.
But
that's
this is another part of being nice to people who are mean to you, and being mean to people who are nice to you.
How to Ruin Your Life is the book.
Yes.
Let's go on.
Yes. All right. Well,
we have somebody who wants to talk to us about Alaska.
Oh, we do. Hold on a second. Let's talk very quickly because we have to go to break. John, you're 31.
Yeah.
You have a response to Ben and his oil propaganda about. Drilling Alaska.
Big oil propaganda.
Yes, Ben Stein, you're a very, very funny man, but I just couldn't sit here and listen to your propaganda about the wildlife refuge and not respond. Do you want to do it after the break or now?
Well, Ben is going
to
leave during the break, mainly because of this call, but go ahead.
We have 30 seconds.
You said you wouldn't want to drill there if you had to shoot a caribou to do it, but the thing is, the part where they want to drill is where the caribou depend on for their food source. when they're having their calves. And it's not a sludge field. The part that they want to drill, the coastal plain, is where all the plants grow. It's very critical to the ecosystem. So this whole thing asks about inserting the pipeline surgically, that couldn't happen.
Oh, yes, it could.
No, it could.
Yes, they have the technology to do it. They can locate the oil. What's that?
A pipeline-sized syringe that they just use?
No, but
a pipeline-sized syringe. It's a very, very big country. So a pipeline compared to a country is much smaller than a syringe compared to a
Here's the problem I have with this. I heard the same stuff when the Alaska pipeline was.
Yeah, they said they was going to wreck Alaska.
The exact same stuff.
Oh, look, all the doom and gloom naysayers say this crap all the time. It's always the same. The sky is falling, people, and then something happens. It all works out, and 5 years later, everyone forgets about it. Meanwhile, our problem is we don't go back and punish the people who are lying to us and talking about doom and gloom, which we need to do. It's nothing, please. And by the way, it's that or keep feeding the pocketbooks of these horrible dictators. Great. All right, Ben Stein, everybody. How to Ruin Your Life, name of the book. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Everybody, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. I want to thank Ben Stein for stopping by tonight. It was an unexpected pleasure to talk to him. Always always enjoy.
Always.
Very lively.
Yeah.
Smart man. Has plenty of opinions. All right. Let's go back to the phones and speak to Eric, who's 14. Eric?
Yeah, hi. I'm Adam, Dr. Drew. I've had 4 concussions over 2 years. I had 3 last year playing football and 1 this year playing football.
Wow.
What position do you play?
I play a defensive lineman.
Good. Okay. Get a lot of concussions at that spot, huh?
Yeah.
Hmm.
What kind of helmet you got?
I've got a large, I guess you could say.
Hold on a second. Drew, where's my pants? It says large.
No, what's the nature of the helmet?
Really, Drew?
All right, forget it. So what's your question?
No, wait a minute. You don't know what kind of helmet you wear.
They just say, yeah, this one looks good on your hair. Use this one.
And you don't see that it says Rydell bike or Rydell on it?
No.
No? I know it does.
It's an old one, so.
He's a 14, high school.
Is it a water helmet?
Those are out now. Can you inflate it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does it have 2 snaps on each side for the chin strap?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thanks. I have a very vivid picture.
What's the question now?
I've had 4 concussions, right?
Yeah.
This year I had a little bit, a worse one than a minor and not so much of a major one. Kind of lost my memory for a week.
Wow.
Couldn't talk right for a while.
Oh, my God.
I figured this out Tuesday because I was mumbling words to my dad. I was talking to him. He's like, Eric, what are you saying? I'm like, oh, crap. Called my mom up, got the CT scan. I was out for 4 weeks because it was a massive bruise on my head.
Oh, you got that's not a concussion. That's a contusion. You mean the bruise in the brain?
On the brain.
From what? How did this happen?
I was going to tackle the guy, and this type of formation they have 2 fullbacks covering the running back.
Mm-hmm.
I got one, but the other one took me out. I fell to the ground. He kicked me in the helmet before I hit the ground.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought I got hit in the helmet, but...
All right.
Well, cerebral contusion, that's serious stuff.
Yeah.
That's brain damage.
Didn't the doctor... Oh, yeah. Didn't the doctor tell you no more football?
For 4 weeks.
After a contusion. This wasn't a neurologist you saw, was it?
Yeah.
You really need to see a neurologist.
You're not looking into the type of helmet that you're using, too? You got an old one?
Yeah, it's pretty old. They get new helmets every year.
I mean, it's your brain, Eric. You really
Hold
can
on
do it
a second.
Is he normal before this happened?
I don't know if this is bogus. No?
Uh-uh.
All right. Eric, what were you like before the multiple concussions?
Normal. I've had a lisp for a while.
Are you able to function at school now?
Well, I'm homeschooled.
Mm-hmm.
How come?
So who gave it? Oh, I know what happened. It was I played a little homeschool ball, too. what happened was is they ran a trap where the pool man was pulling, and the mailman was the lead back. It was the full back through the
He's
hole.
He's the one that kicked him.
I was playing backer, but I stepped up, and my mom gave me a forearm shiver, took me out, and my dad, who was carrying the ball, actually, he made it into he made it actually down the entry hall and halfway through the living room before one of the DBs, was a guy named Kurt, who was homeschooling with me, just came on and clotheslined him. And, you know, attaché case went flying one way, football the other. And they ended up going for three. Hey, Eric?
Yeah.
But where are you playing ball? At Pop Warner, at the high school?
The high school. I just got pulled out in the ending day of October, so.
And you got pulled out of high school?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, my brother kind of left a guilty reputation for me. So,
no, yeah, no, that's, yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah, you got your brother was a bad guy, and therefore when you entered the ninth grade, they went, oh, we'll have none of this.
Yeah, basically.
No.
Eric, please.
It happened.
No, Eric, come on.
Are you high?
No. I don't do drugs, so.
Oh, really? Okay. Okay, Eric, this is not why you got pulled out. So you got to drop that. Your brother was
doesn't like the system.
Well, there you go.
Your dad doesn't like the system?
No.
Well, that's why you got pulled out, right?
Yeah, I just...
Why are you feeding us the crap about your older brother?
That's my reasoning. It works sometimes.
Some people believe it.
All right. Eric, no more football.
Yeah, that's basically it.
I mean...
Unfortunately. He's got to go back to school, too.
Well, you know, with the reputation of the older brother hanging over your head that way.
Yeah, routinely they kick people out of school for what other siblings have done, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. That's ridiculous. We don't do enough of that in society. You know, I mean, you could be Dahmer's brother or Hitler's cousin and just go off and get a seat in the house. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And we don't do that much in this society.
No, we don't.
And I think, I'm not sure if we should or not, but listen, Eric, don't play football. And the reason I put Eric on hold is because I didn't like him feeding us the BS.
Yeah, cerebral contusion was a very serious injury. I mean, this is going to be with him his whole life.
Is there a neurologist, Drew, alive who you can say, I've had four, you know, fairly major concussions in the last season, or I had one that says, give it a few weeks and you can get back on the field?
Take it easy out there. No, no way.
No, and certain people are sort of concussive, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's boxers who get hit and they get dropped. Mm-hmm. And then there are other ones who get hit and they don't go down.
Right.
You know, it has nothing to do with their weight or anything like that. It's just some people are more apt to do this.
Right.
I don't know what that means. Maybe you have a better brain.
Yeah.
I mean, show me a guy who takes a constant pounding to the head and is unaffected, and I'll show you guys probably not too sharp, right?
Yeah. Muhammad Ali didn't go down very often.
That's a good point, Drew. Curtis?
Yeah.
What is your point, Drew, with Muhammad Ali?
That he took a lot of hits, and then he got injured now.
I know, but he was an intelligent, sharp-tongued guy who had a brain that sort of, or a skull that stood up to that kind of stuff. Go ahead, Curtis.
Hey.
17?
Yep.
All right. I have no interest in talking to Curtis whatsoever. Let's talk to Keith, who's 19.
Hey.
Hey.
I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. My girl, I was going out with her for about a month.
Mm-hmm.
And she ended up cheating on me.
Right.
And I caught her.
Right.
I didn't find them having sex. She told me.
Yeah.
You caught her.
her telling you?
No,
So like if
I found the condom wrapper in her room.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's bad. Yeah.
That's never happened to you, has it, Adam?
How dare you? I actually found the condom in the room.
Oh, not just the wrapper.
Worse than the wrapper.
Oh.
Had to pick it up with the number 2 pencil and smell it.
No.
No.
Where's the vomit drop?
All right, so, yes, Keith, you found the condom wrapper. She couldn't explain that away.
And she lied about all the stuff that had happened between her and him, and she tried covering everything up.
And what's the question, then?
And, well, I found out she still has feelings for me, and I still have feelings for her, though. and I'm wondering what I should do.
How'd you find that out? It was written on the condom wrapper?
The feelings for me?
Yes.
There's like a middle friend that we have that she's, this girl at her work, that she's more friends with me. And yeah. Tells me everything
okay.
That's going on.
Okay, let me get some information. How long did you two go out?
We went out for about a month.
Okay. And she's, by the way, you're going out with someone for a month and they're cheating on you. That just means they're seeing more than one person.
Right. Right.
Isn't that really, I mean, okay, if you guys see each other every day for 2 weeks and at the end of that she says, I love you and I want you to be my boyfriend. But this sounds to me more like you guys never really had a full-blown intimate relationship.
Right.
Okay, number one. And number two, then, who dumped who at this point when you found out about the cheating?
I dumped her because,
You dumped her?
Because I didn't, want to have her going around doing this to me.
Right, right. Because she insisted that she was going to keep seeing this guy. Therefore, I dumped her.
She told you she wasn't going to stop seeing this guy?
Well, I went and talked to her a couple days later, and she said, yeah, her boyfriend, this and that, about him.
All right, hold on a second.
Oh, boy.
We get one of these callers like twice a month
we
now.
We do, don't we? Yeah.
Sort of a delusional male. My girlfriend was cheating on me.
Yeah.
So it turns out he was cheating on her.
She was cheating on her boyfriend with this guy.
Right.
The guy we're talking to.
All right, so Keith, so you cut her loose, though, right? You sent her packing?
Yeah.
Back to her boyfriend. Kicked her back to that boyfriend.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. And who she'd been with for how long?
She's been with him for about a week now.
She considers this her boyfriend, who she's been with for a week?
Yeah.
How long was she with him before this week?
She knew him for about a week and then left me for him, and then they were going out for about a week.
So this whole thing took place a week ago?
Yes.
After she'd been met this guy and seen him for only the course of a week. Never knew him before that.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So now, she's still with this guy?
Yes.
Okay. And you've heard through a mutual friend that she misses you?
Yes, that she's realizing, like, she screwed up with me.
Mm-hmm.
And that I was a really good guy to her.
Yeah.
And that this guy...
You've called this show before, haven't you?
No, I haven't.
Huh?
I've been listening for a few years, but I've never called before.
All right. But listen, Keith, she's chaotic, and she's trouble. And she did you a favor by leaving the condom wrapper.
Yep.
So
it's just going to be more pain like that if you try to pursue this any further.
Oh, and let me tell you something.
It's just the beginning.
Oh, yes. She will go round and round with this guy and you for the rest of her life.
Yep.
See, Keith is one of these guys that's one good date with some half-sane chick away from having this stuff completely behind him.
Yeah.
But he's 19, which is that horrible no-man's land for guys.
Yeah.
All right. Drew, what's the matter? Your coffee's too hot? You got a real puss on when
Isn't
you
crazy?
Grab that thing. You know, weird, like...
Had a seizure.
Yeah. Tiffany?
Yes?
You're 14?
Hi.
Hi.
There's this guy at school, and I met him a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, from, like, the beginning, I sort of liked him.
Mm-hmm.
And then after my friend told him to get with me.
Right.
I just can't stop liking him for some reason. And
after your friend told him to get with you.
Mm-hmm. You couldn't stop liking him.
Yeah.
You mean he had sex with you?
No, just like, you know, making out and stuff.
You made out with him?
Yeah.
And he doesn't like you after that episode?
Well, we did that for like this whole year.
Made out periodically?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a little more, but then, like, he denied everything when...
Well, forget what he admits to. What did you do?
What do you mean by what did he do?
What are the things he's denying?
The fact that he got with me.
Right, hold on. A little difficult day, our last three or four callers with the tracking.
Oh, boy.
Started off with the concussive guy.
Right.
Kind of helmet you got. And listen, everybody. Tara, don't call me Tara, goddammit, Brian.
You have 45 more minutes for vacation. That's all you got to put up with this for.
I really don't care what the problem is anymore. If people are having difficulty tracking, we can't speak to them.
This is all going on the best of.
All right. Thank you. Tiffany?
Yeah?
Okay, so the guy's how old?
He's 17.
All right. And you made out a couple times, and he denies doing more. Fine.
But you did do more.
You got to move on.
Yeah, it's a bad
and my friends keep telling me to, but I just don't know how.
I know. I understand you don't have that capacity in you. This guy has hooked you in a way that's unhealthy for you. You must do it. You must just treat it like a drug that you have to break your habit of.
All right.
That's it. You got to be strong, baby.
Thanks.
You got to stand tall. You got to be proud.
All right.
Yeah, because when you give in, you're weakened. But when you stand tall, you're empowered. Yes.
Yeah.
People don't think. I can tell I moved her. She's probably weeping. That's why she couldn't respond. But let me say this, Drew. Mm-hmm. People don't realize this. When you fight against the things that you feel like doing that you know are bad.
Right.
Whether it's noshing on popcorn constantly while working or something. Whatever it is, you know you shouldn't do it. But you do it anyway, it weakens you.
Right.
But the good news is when you feel like doing something and you know you shouldn't and you don't do it, it strengthens you.
Right.
And this is a way to sort of strengthen yourself.
Yeah, you're right.
It really is. And the problem, the weakened part is the slippery slope. Mm-hmm. You start giving in, you just get used to giving in. And then you just become the person who gives in constantly.
Yeah, you're right.
You got to go against. This is everybody. This is how you become a good person. Stepping up. I mean, every story is about this. You want to run scared. You want to fold up. You want to check out, and yet you don't.
That's right.
There's no story historically that is. I really wanted to do this, so I did it.
Right.
It's always about. Standing up in the face of adversity.
Right, overcoming adversity.
That's right. All right, everyone needs to do that. And I wonder if there's much of that going on these days, or less of it going on than it used to go on. I mean, here's what I'm saying.
It's maybe, you know, as we've sort of moved the paradigm from religion and sin to kind of health.
Right.
People, when they're stuck in between that, they don't know how to... what's good and what's bad and how to stand up to things.
There used to be in this country, there used to be a thing where people knew it was a part of life to do things they didn't want to do and to stand up when they didn't feel like standing up.
Yeah.
And that's what all these great wars were about.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wanted to do it, but they knew they had to do it and they did what they had to do. And I just wonder if there's a little shortage of that going on in today's youth.
I think they got it in them. I just don't think they know. No one taps into it for them.
Right.
So, Adam, you're the man. When you are in charge, you'll have a Corolla youth program.
Something that just strikes me is like when I was a kid, I was scared to death of all adults.
Hmm.
And now I notice kids are kind of snot-nosed when it comes to adults. And I think there was a time when we said, you know, teachers, you can't punish the kids. So how many years is that going to go on before the kids just got to tell you to F off?
Huh.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Let's talk to Nikki, who's 19. Nikki?
Hi.
Hi.
How are you guys tonight?
Good.
I thought nobody ever asks you how you guys are doing. I thought I'd ask for once. Okay, I have a question. It's more for Dr. Drew, but I love both of you. I've been listening since I was like 13 years old. I'm a cutter. I know why.
Why? Why?
My real dad. He beat me and my mom, and my mom and I ran away from him when I was 3.
Mm-hmm.
From there, I developed an eating disorder. I became a big druggie, went to rehab, got clean. I was able to stay away from drugs and stay away from the eating disorder, but when it comes to cutting, I mean, there's been times where I didn't do it for like a year and a half, and then something would set me off. I had a miscarriage when I was 18. Well, like when it started to get full blown was when I was 15 when I had a stillborn, and I did that. And then when I was 18, I had a miscarriage, and it set me back into it.
Hmm.
And I just moved out on my own, not by choice, and I live in Utah now, and I don't really like it.
Hey, Nikki, how about you cut open a packet of birth control, huh?
Ironically, both times I got pregnant, I was on birth control with her tricycline.
You took them at the same time every day, right?
Yeah, every day at 10 o'clock. My pager went off, and then when I had a cell phone, it went off too. So wow. I was on birth control the whole time, yeah.
Wow.
So, kind of sucks. And then, but I know how to stop myself. I've been diagnosed borderline personality disorder, bipolar, and post-traumatic stress disorder. That's my diagnosis, which I think is crap because, you know, whatever.
All right.
I can't stop myself.
Like, as long as you have a good explanation as to why it's crap, but the whatever.
PTSD and borderline are related. Some people believe they may be on the continuum.
All right. Where are you cutting yourself?
Anywhere that no one will see it. Mostly, right now I've gotten into burning myself because everyone in my apartment has taken away everything sharp away from me.
What does your sponsor say about this?
My what?
Yeah, exactly. Where's your sponsor?
My sponsor's still in California where I used to live.
All right, you need to get back in an active program. If you are not utilizing the tools and growing in recovery on a regular basis, your brain will have no alternative but to seek more primitive means because that's all you have. You've not developed other means of regulating awful feelings. And it's either going to be doing drugs or cutting. Now, thankfully, it's cutting right now, believe it or not, thankfully. And unless you are actively engaged, regularly working with your sponsor, this is going to continue.
What do you burn yourself with?
Anything I can find most of the time. It's become like a...
Hold on a second. I just realized I just got to stop asking questions on this show. It's just always dead end. As a host, I think specific. Like, this is going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to say Tipperillos, and then I'm going to have a really witty response. Or I'm going to ask this guy what kind of helmet he uses. I'm going to try to take it from the general to the specific, because it's always more interesting to do that.
Yeah.
And after all, that's what comedy is. But our callers refuse to help me in my quest. It'll never happen. Somebody calls up with a crazy accent. Where are you from? Bellflower. Where's your country of origin? United States. Where did you get that accent? My parents have that accent. It really becomes surgery without anesthetic, trying to get anything specific.
And with your eyes closed.
Yes, yes. Nikki.
I'm sorry. Yeah,
that's all right.
Throw your groove off.
I had to vent because I was at my saturation point with this. You burn yourself with anything and everything.
Mostly metal things because nail files, my knife.
So you heat things up.
Yeah, and then lay it on my skin and hold it there.
You brand yourself essentially.
More or less, yeah. But I can get over it.
All right, but let me ask you this. Hold on a second. You said a second ago the reason you're into burning and not into cutting is because your neighbors have taken away all sharp objects, but then you tell me that you heat up a knife.
Well, yeah, I had that first, and then they took that away, and so then I found a nail file.
I see. All right. Well,
I can stop it.
Good. Please do. Please stop it.
But does it ever go away? I mean,
yes.
Yes.
Yeah, people.
You're a doctor.
People do tend to outgrow this somewhat, but again, you need to be actively engaged in a therapeutic process. You have some very serious diagnoses that tend to be kind of chronic, and it's going to mean you applying yourself just as if you had a chronic leg injury, that you need to do a little physical rehab every day. Well, you have to do a little mental rehab every day. You're a drug addict in recovery. You're not actively involved in your program. That by itself is a huge risk to your safety and well-being.
And
you've got a personality disorder. You've got these other symptoms that are sort of surfacing now that you're not doing the proper work in your program. It's game on soon.
And mental conditions don't go away. You have to sort of fight them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to do the work.
Right.
Just like we spoke about. So do it, Nikki. You can do that. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll speak to Vincent. He's 16. He wants to know if he should have a threesome with his more experienced girlfriend and her friend. And I know, it's like a tooth I can't stop playing with. I have to talk to Vincent very quickly. Vincent?
Huh?
Yeah, I see.
Okay. I'm fine. True. This is the point where I need a flask. You know what I mean? Like, if this was 50s radio, I'd be going for the flask at this 50s.
Plenty of beer out there, bud.
All right. Let's get a brewski.
There we go.
We'll be back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Brew. phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. I had to crack a beer, Drew, to take the edge off.
It's been a tough night.
It's been a very difficult night. You guys have caused me a lot of pain, and I've hit the sauce full 40 minutes earlier than I normally do. We just did a minor gift opening, and producer Ann got us both very nice sweaters. Not the same sweater, mind you, but nice sweaters. And I was thinking, you ever get the... And I started to spread mine out over the back of my chair, which is the same color as a sweater, and thought, no, I better put it somewhere where I'm going to grab it. Because I don't know if you've ever gotten popped for getting a gift. It's harmless. It means nothing, but to the person. You ever got caught, like the person going, the basket's over here. And you're like, and you always overcompensate. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. No, I didn't. No, I was just going. I
thought I was out back.
It's like hyper, super sensitive mode. But obviously, it's not like you went, oh, this gift sucks. I'm just going to leave it behind so the person can throw it away themselves. But you do on occasion, especially if you get a handful of them, leave something behind. And big slap in the face to the people. Drew, what are you doing there?
I'm opening your gift.
I got Drew a nice bottle of booze. I've said this once, I'll say it again. You either need to drink, or those of you who don't drink, you have to declare an animal that you like that we can get you one of. You know, people, it's like, she loves hippos.
Oh, I see.
Everything she gets is a hippo. Right. She's got hippo alarm clock. She's got the hippo pillow. You know what I mean? Because if you don't booze and you don't have an animal,
it's hard.
It's tough. It's very tough.
Then it's soap.
Yeah, then you get soap. Right. And the gift certificate thing is, something I could do 20 minutes on easily.
God.
What is that?
It's a really great bottle of wine.
Nice bottle of wine?
About a case of that?
Came in a wooden crate.
Yeah, I bet.
Jeez, that's a little too nice.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to fire my assistant. Yeah, Drew, I'm going to need to take that back.
That's fine. I feel better if you do.
Yeah, please. I'm just going to need that. Or I'll just have to drink it.
is this what you're drinking before you go to bed at night?
No, I don't. I drink the bad stuff.
All right.
So I got a problem, you know?
I feel better.
Why? Is that good wine?
Yeah.
How do you know? What do you know about wine?
Are you kidding?
It's good wine?
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy. I have to talk to my lady who bought that for me. Pete?
How you doing?
You're 23?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. What's happening? I bought Anderson a carton of smokes. $42.
Wow.
Jesus Christ.
42? Was it really?
Yeah. Maybe like our interns or PAs at the Crank Yankers are ripping us off or something. I told this kid, go to the liquor store. Again, $45. He gave me $3 and like 20 cents change. What do you think he did? Well, there's American Spirits. How many come in a pack?
20.
No, 10. How many in a case? 10? A carton. Yeah, that's $4 and something. I'm not rubbing it in. I'm just saying, Drew.
Yeah.
See, well, now when you bum them off me, what I'm thinking?
But I know.
It's designed to motivate you not to smoke cigarettes.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Well, it's not working on me.
Rob, goddamn Reiner.
Yeah. Pete?
Yes, sir.
Oh, wait a minute. We didn't want to talk to Pete. We want to talk to Vincent.
I want to talk to Pete.
No. I know you do, but I want to talk to Vincent, then we'll talk to Pete. Vincent?
Yeah?
You're 16?
Yes.
All righty.
Adam?
Uh-huh?
How many of the people tonight do you think were on the football field with that 14-year-old? Because I've been listening, and God.
How many people do you think were on the field with him?
Yeah.
Beside him?
Yeah.
Seven.
Probably on the field, 21 of the guy, right? 11 on one side,
plus
11
two
on the
refs.
Other. Right, 23, right?
Yeah. I think Vincent's taking a jab at him, but I'm not sure
what it is.
Okay, my question is, I've been going out with my girlfriend for 8 months now.
Yeah.
About a month ago, we recently started having sex.
Mm-hmm.
Lately, she asked me if her friend Judy can join us.
Oh, yeah. Bogus.
Bogus, yeah. And I know you've never been laid either, Vincent.
Oh.
Yeah. Nice try, buddy.
Good try, buddy.
No, I'm serious.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
Ooh. Smoke alarm. I think I heard one.
I didn't hear smoke alarm.
Yeah? Give it a couple minutes here. We'll keep Vincent on the line just for...
Can I finish my question?
Yeah, all right.
Okay. She asked, and I was curious of why. I'm not sure if I'm not satisfying or something, but I'm not sure if I should do it either, because why would she want a girl in the room, too?
Uh-huh. Why'd you use the girl's name?
Huh?
Why'd you tell us the girl's name?
It just came to mind.
Mm-hmm. What mind? That's really the question we all need to ask ourselves tonight.
Okay.
All right. All right. Well, she's sort of troubled, and she may even be a lesbian, has trouble dealing with that, and needs to inject a little chaos into this relationship.
I say you do it, though, Vincent, because this thing's going to be over soon anyway.
He's 16. It could be a little weird for him.
He'll bounce back. If I know my Vincent. Vincent?
Huh?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay.
Don't get anyone pregnant.
All right.
That's bogus.
Totally bogus. Yeah. He didn't care at all what the answer to that question was. I want to know how many guys were on the football field. I'm sort of waiting for the punchline. Do you think he was actually inquiring? Is that if they're playing eight-man football?
Maybe.
All right.
God, I love this sweater.
Pete?
Never taken this thing
yes,
off.
Sir.
Drew got a nice sweater. I got a nice sweater, too.
Crazy.
Yeah, but you can't smoke a sweater. You remember that, Anderson? Go ahead, Pete. You're 23.
Yeah.
What's up?
I had a question for you guys. My wife was abused when she was younger, and she seems to have gotten over that. I mean, our sex life is good.
What was the nature of the abuse?
Stepfather.
Mm-hmm.
And she seems to
not
have
the nature
over
of the abuser.
Sexual abuse?
Stepfather.
Yeah, sexual abuse, okay. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And she seems to have gotten over it. We have a very good and I guess by modern standards, normal sex life.
Mm-hmm.
But what's frustrating about it is that after she orgasms, she just doesn't seem to want to continue at all, even though I may have not achieved orgasm.
Do you want to continue after you've orgasmed?
If she hasn't, yes.
You will?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Well, most people, and maybe women, can feel very uncomfortable afterwards.
Well, that's what she says, that it irritates her more than it.
There you go.
Well, do you think this has to do with her abuse?
Well, that was my question, was could it possibly stem? I mean, I understand there are some women that aren't capable of having multiple orgasms, but I was wondering if that
some women,
might be a part of
some,
it.
Some women, almost no women, very few women have multiple orgasms. That's pretty,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so Pete, here's the thing. She's how old?
18.
She's 18, you're 23, and when did you get married?
About a year ago.
About a year ago.
17.
Yeah.
Okay, was she 17?
Yes.
What's up? Why are you marrying a 17-year-old?
Well, we have been dating for some time. We had a very good relationship.
Right. Okay. You know, All right.
Look, this is a biological thing, a mechanical thing. Some women have the orgasm. It is extremely uncomfortable, and you've got to stop.
Has she ever gotten any help for her abuse?
Yeah,
this
she
is not
has.
About abuse, though.
I know. I'm just curious. All right, so Pete, this is not connected to the abuse.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
Is your stepfather still around?
No.
Good.
Oh.
But all right. Get things rolling for you in some other way before you have intercourse, so you can sort of be closer to getting where you need to go.
Yeah.
Stepfather.
She's having the orgasm. She's having the orgasm with the intercourse.
Yeah, amazing. Shocking. What?
Nice step ahead of the game there. Oh. All right. Someone's on speed. What's another side effects? You want to talk to...
Please will be quick.
Jim showered with Mom until he was 11. Pal school said that was bad.
Mm.
Let's see. Jim?
Still there, Jim?
Hello.
Yes. You showered with your mom until you were 11.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It was kind of like I slept downstairs. I didn't have a... We had bedrooms upstairs.
Yeah.
And, I didn't know until I guess I was at school, talking with one of my buddies. And I thought everybody did that.
Wait, let me understand. You got into the shower itself or you just shared a bathroom?
Into the shower itself.
Well, you both got in there with your mom was naked.
Yes.
I'm picturing him at like 4 and a half wearing his mom's vagina like a coonskin cap. I mean, actually sliding up in there and sort of trying to sneak back from whence he came. All right.
Good time.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing, Jim. This is strange, but the...
No, it's bad. It's bad.
Yeah, it's bad. No, just listen to me. It's bad and it's strange, but the greater effect from this kind of thing is being raised by a mom who thought this kind of thing was okay.
That's true.
Than the actual showering.
It's all about somebody who has very poor boundaries.
Right. Yeah. How is your mom? She a little kooky?
Yeah, I guess so. And I don't know where... Because I know that, you know, physical contact, hugs and kisses are good. That's normal. But I don't know where you draw the line, and I'm not sure why she didn't.
Because she doesn't have... She has no boundaries. Are you able to carry on relationships that are healthy?
I really hadn't been able to carry on any long-term relationships, no.
Great.
All right.
There you go.
You got a dad who's sane?
No, my dad was right in the bathroom, you know.
Beating off?
Yeah, totally aware of it.
Okay. All right. So, are you straight or gay?
I'm straight, definitely straight.
Okay. And you work or go to school?
Yeah.
Okay, so you lead a decent, normal life?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, listen, don't think of yourself as nuts or damaged goods. Just go start dating and find a girl.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
just watch your boundaries. Realize that you're going to have difficulty distinguishing between you and someone else in terms of your feelings about them and their feelings about you.
Yeah. Mm. I think Grandma used to walk around in the nude.
Your grandma?
Oh, yeah.
How about your grandpa?
No.
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 And so, did he have
he was Jewish.
Did he say anything about
it? He was normal.
Did he say anything about her behavior?
Well, she kind of ruled the roost, as it were. He kind of, he was my step-grandfather.
Right.
And he was Jewish, so he was the only sane person in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the only one who cooked or did anything. But he was still getting his ass kicked up and down the house, just like any good Jewish man would do. With the slightly domineering Goyim wife, right? Yeah. That's all. Hey, good times, though, right?
Yeah, but evidently.
I gotta cut myself off this beer, Drew. It's really opening a lot of floodgates for me.
Yeah, I've never heard that. This is a story I hadn't heard yet. I thought I heard
I told
everything.
You my grandma used to walk around.
No.
Big sunbather.
Oof.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah. That was great. All right, we'll be right back. Hey, yo, Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. All right, buddy, let's rifle through some calls, huh?
Sir.
Megan?
Hey.
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
So what happened is I've been with my boyfriend for 6 months, and I was a virgin when I started going out with him, and I definitely waited till I loved him, till we had sex, and... Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't the best at first, but it got better, and we're doing really well. And, okay, so we hit the 50th mark, and all of a sudden he thinks that he's like, oh, you know, you're so much tighter, you feel so much better now.
You hit the 50th sexual encounter mark?
Yeah, 50th time doing it.
Not sure if I've gotten there yet.
Were you counting? Did you have a little tally sheet or something?
He counts all the time.
He counts?
Yeah, he keeps track of my period, all that stuff. He's weird like that. So,
when you're having sex, does it like count? Like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, no, he's got a palm pilot.
Counting strokes, right?
Does he not want to get you pregnant, or is he just sort of compulsive that way?
He's compulsive, yes.
All right.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is compulsive.
So I'm kind of wondering, like, the more you do it, do you get tighter because you're working the muscle, or are you going to get looser?
You're going to stay about the same.
Well, all of a sudden, it's just like it's really hard to, like, do it. Like, I just have him, like, stop. I'll be like, it hurts too much.
Well, that's either you're anxious and your muscles are constricting, and that would make you have pain and make him feel like things were tighter. Or maybe you're not lubricating normally because you're not sort of as into it.
Well, it's tough when the guy's putting the notch in the bedpost.
While he's doing it.
Well, I don't know.
All right, baby, it's time for Big 5-0. And, you know, I got a cake coming. I got a singing telegram. Yeah, I mean, isn't that a little distracting when he tells you it's number 50?
Yeah. He's more into me than I am into him, I guess.
Oh.
Okay.
So,
I mean, but I'm not psychologically messed up or anything. And
no,
like,
no, that's fine.
I'm, like, horny. I'm into it. And yet, it's like, I want to go. I'm thinking about, oh, okay, I want to go.
Yeah, you, but you're into it, but you're only into it to a point. And you're not really excited about it so much. It's not something that really sustains you. You're not passionate about this guy. And women very often, their body tells them. It shows them how they're feeling.
That's where the tightness comes in.
Right. You're sort of clamping down. You're not loosening. You're not into
lubrication.
Women actually do dilate when they're prepared, when they're excited.
Yeah.
And so...
Never seen that, but yeah. So, Megan.
Yeah.
How long have you been with the guy now?
6 months.
6 months.
Yeah.
Does it feel to you like you're outgrowing this a little bit, the relationship?
No, not at all. I can see myself being with him.
Wait, you just said you're not that into him.
No, I am into him. It's just, sexually, it's like we just come together at the wrong time where he wants to do and I don't want to do it. And so eventually just like...
Is that because you're doing it too frequently or he hasn't approached you in the right way?
Maybe it's just a lack of time or something that we don't have enough time so we get around to doing it.
How old is this guy?
He's 16.
And you're his first, right?
Yeah. No. He's done it before. Like six times or something.
Six really? Times, 24 and a half times with each.
I don't know how many with each.
All right. Well, he does, believe me.
He's good.
Oh,
I want to see his accounting
out
sheet.
His log sheet, yeah. See his ledger. Hey, Megan?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Megan, no. Just be open to the fact that maybe you're not as into this as you think you are.
Well, like, I want to stay with him and stuff. And
I know, because you've boffed him 50 times, that's why.
Should I just give it a rest for a while?
Well, it doesn't...
Oh, he'll freak out.
It doesn't seem like you're incredibly into the guy.
Oh, man. That's what everyone tells me, but I am.
Yeah, we talked to you for 3 minutes and we know it.
Oh, crap.
It's all right. Listen, the hard part about relationships when you're 17 is being able to know exactly what's happening to you now. To know when it's winding down, to know when it's not working, to know how to end it, realize it when it's not working. And that's part of being in relationships at 17. You have to learn those things. You don't know them automatically.
This keeping score is diabolical, though.
Why?
Because women who are with a guy for a period of time, they'll talk to us and go, like, I've been with a guy for a year and a half, and I just don't want to throw it all away, so they'll hang in for another year.
Oh.
As a guy going, listen, I've nailed you 50 times. Where, you know what I mean?
No. This is for later. This is when he comes back, if they meet up at a reunion. Hey, come on, we were together 437 times. What's 438? What's the big deal?
Yeah.
Here it is right here. It's certified. 437. Remember this?
Yes.
You signed, you witnessed right here.
Yes. You see you see where I've had it notarized?
Yeah.
All right. All right. She sounds like she's falling out with this guy. Kim?
So. Yes.
You're 25.
Yes.
You're pregnant with no insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Good times.
She's proud of it.
Yeah.
You want to know where you go to get some looking
just,
after?
I just found out today I was pregnant. Took a pregnancy test. Found out I was pregnant. Did it twice, so I'm pretty sure that I am.
Right.
Totally missed a period, everything like that.
Right.
I just need to know where to go. I called Planned Parenthood, but they don't do that unless you're going to have an abortion. They don't do it the day of.
They don't do
and
what?
I kind of need to know more information.
About what are you looking for? Prenatal care?
Do I care?
No. What are you looking for?
I want to know how far along I am. How much have I damaged this unborn baby that I'm carrying?
Okay.
Information.
Okay. Well, they're not going to be able to tell you either, probably.
Well, I would like to know how far along I am, and I realize I can't exactly tell me how damaged it is. But if I knew how far along I was, then I'd have some sort of indication about.
Are you trying to make an assessment? Are you trying to make an assessment about whether you should see this pregnancy through or not? Is that what you're trying to do?
I was in a really bad car accident, and I was, taking painkillers and stuff like that. So that could have something to do with the fetus, how it's developing.
You know what? Painkillers don't hurt the fetus.
Category D?
You can take heroin; it doesn't hurt the fetus. If you're on, are you on them now?
I only was on 2 weeks. I had two cortisone shots and a couple other things, and it ended like 2 weeks ago.
All right. In fact, if you were on, let's say you were on large amounts of opiates. Let's say you were a heroin addict. All that they would do is put you on methadone for the remainder of your pregnancy because opiates do not really hurt the fetus.
Okay.
All right, and Kim, you didn't miss last month's period, did you?
No, the thing is about last month, I'm a grad student. I was in a lot of stress, And the fact I
I had my period lasted 8 days, then it went away, and then it came back 3 days later. I was like, oh, okay, I'm under a lot of stress. It was just spotting. There was no other indication to me that anything else was going on.
So you may have had some first trimester bleeding here, right? Is what
yeah,
you're saying. So
that's what I'm kind of
all right. So that's what you need to get evaluated, and that's yes, that needs to be done. Go to county. There's one of the women's facility, women's hospital, county hospital. That you'll be
yeah, at. There's a fair amount of women's clinics and
absolutely.
Things like that. Got what down to county USC?
Yeah,
is that where county is?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's changes all the time.
It's good
yeah.
times going over there. All right, we will. You can just take yourself a nice seat on a burnt orange
plastic.
Well, it's fiberglass. Yeah. Fiberglass bench in between a couple of hobos who can't stop vomiting. All right, good luck. We'll be back. Well, all right, that's the show. I want to thank Brian for doing a great job on the phones and the coffee all week long. I want to thank
all year long. It's the end of the year for us.
I know, but I, you know, what? Christmas isn't for a week.
All right,
you know
okay.
what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to sell it too hard.
All right.
Just because we're doing best stuff.
Right.
I want to thank Tara, don't call me Tara, goddammit, for doing a great job on the phones and the coffee and everything that's put before her. I want to thank junior executive producer Lauren for the booking and the Braggots and the Broads and the Breesemeyers. Producer Ann for like I said, booking the big name guests and taking care of business, bringing in guys like Ben Stein in the last moment, the 11th hour, and of course the nimbled finger one, the Liberace of the
what the hell is that supposed to mean?
The Liberace.
Meaning you
of
know
the
how
board.
To work a keyboard.
That's right. He knows how to tickle those potentiometers. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Dear Santa, I am gay. Please send me a boyfriend and a toy to put up my ass. Merry Christmas. Love, Adam Carolla. This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.